bringing jazz assistance. You wish you had a word, strong heart. Take a breath, restart. We're healing now, now. We're doing our part. Boundaries and blessings, pop culture and peace. The Sunday reset, your soul's released. Take what you need, said it's time to reset. Bringing jazz assistance. You wish you had.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday Reset. The Sunday Reset is your soft place to fall. At the end of the week, we provide healing, sisterly talks. Let us heal, laugh, and reset together. I am your host, Bria Browner.
I'm Jasmine Browner.
Yes. So, for those of you that don't know, we are sisters. So, this is actually a very authentic bond in camaraderie that you're seeing. So first, I just want to do like a soft girl check-in. How are you feeling this week?
Doing good. Definitely need to decompress, so I'm going out to drink with my friends after this, but right now I'm doing good. It's definitely needed.
I will definitely be joining you and partaking in legal substances in a safe way, by the way. And then also, I just kind of want to do a quick vibe check. What are you grieving right now? And for those of you that don't know, that follow us on social media, maybe you just haven't seen it, but we did unfortunately lose the matriarch of our family, Janice Browner, who was our paternal grandmother at the beginning of this year. And then we most recently just lost our great-grandfather, who, I guess you could say, the patriarch, our maternal great-grandfather of the family. So we are definitely grieving those losses, and we definitely want to take the time to acknowledge them because they did play a big part in our life. But outside of those deaths, because that's very obvious, you know, the bond that we had with them, what is something or some things that you're grieving at the moment?
Shoot, right now it's a paycheck. I thought I was gonna get like $100 more or so on my paycheck. And I did not. I'm grieving that $100 is hitting me hard right now because I definitely want to spend more. I had something put to the side like for that money, and now I can't even use that I gotta just wait till the next check to buy whatever I was trying to buy. I'm like, damn,
I feel that.
I'll be cussing on this podcast.
You can curse on the podcast. Just don't do the most, but you know, our parents want to watch or whatever. So,
they know their daughter. Like,
we get it from somewhere, right? We get it from somewhere. I would say right now, pretty much, outside of like the deaths in our family, I'm not grieving too much because I've spent a long time grieving things. And not that I have the hang of it, because like as humans, we're ever evolving. Like emotions are changing and coming and going every single day. But I just feel like I'm on like the precipice of like the end of a chapter where I was grieving the life that I thought I was going to live. And I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
And it's taken me a minute. Like when that comes to like relationships, like I definitely thought I was going to be, you know, with the love of my life right now, married, kids, cows and chickens and shit, you know. And not that that won't happen, but it just hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened with the person I thought it would happen with.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm trying to change this damn light because I don't want this rainbow.
Okay.
Hold on.
And yeah, at first, initially, that's what kind of what I was grieving, just like not being where I wanted to, especially like with acting. You get told no so many times. You expect to have like this many roles by this time, and then you don't. So it took me a while. I was grieving that for a long time, but right now I feel like I'm at the end of grieving that chapter, because for like, I could say like in a long time, like for the first time, I genuinely like am at peace and I feel comfortable like where I'm at. And everything does happen for a reason. We don't want to hear that at the moment, because obviously it's like, fuck that. Like, I want what I want when I want it. And so nobody wants to hear that shit, like when you're in it. But honestly, it's true though. Like, God really will hold certain things from you know, in order to assist you like on in the future. Like, I promise you, I would not have gotten this, like the apartment that I got beforehand. That's a whole different story. We'll talk about in a whole nother episode. But like, think about it. I was about to move out like 4 years ago and it didn't work out. I was very upset. You know what I mean? I had to stay like with our parents for a minute, and then look at me now. Like, I'm literally living in my dream spot. And that would not have happened back then, because I wasn't in the position. I didn't have the right job. I just wasn't in like that headspace to even be able to afford that blessing. And that's a hard thing to come to, affording a blessing, because we ask for a lot, but can you actually afford what you're asking God for? Like, that's a real thing.
Hey, no, hey, no, hey, no, hey, no.
I would do a little clappy clap audio on myself, but that's too cocky. So, but you know, take notes, take notes, take what you need, sis. So yeah. I feel like grief just comes in so many different forms, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And life gets very hard. I'm never going to invalidate how someone feels, how heavy life can get, because man, this, especially this world we live in now, is very scary out here. Very scary.
Scared. Think one of the main things you just gotta remember is like continue protecting your peace no matter what. And I'm not saying like, you know, toxic healing or anything like that. I'm just saying like just make sure that you're intentional about what you give your energy to, because you never know what is actually taking so much of it. Or people too. So, like, especially during the grieving process, that's when you start to realize when some of them people that you've been hanging with and been dealing with ain't necessarily the people that you should be with. It's still when them seasons change and the leaves fall. So, sometimes grieving also helps. It helps you realize who the real ones are. It's like when you move to a new place or some a new apartment, like, you know, about 20, 30 minutes away from your friends or something, whether or not they actually gonna come and hang out with you just because you done moved down the street or you went down the
That
highway.
is real. I was talking to a friend of the show, Ashley, and I was just literally saying, like, have a baby, let someone pass away in your family, move out, you know, and you will genuinely see who the real people that support you are. Like, that's so real.
Well, I mean,
All right. So we can move on. Let's talk about DoorDash, because I just feel like DoorDash assists with our soft girl lifestyle.
Okay. Listen, all right. You ever been on your couch, you know, mid rewatch of your favorite show, and you realize, hey, I'm real hungry, you know? I haven't eaten yet at all.
Child, that is a serious form of grief. The grief be grieving and the fridge be empty.
That is when you DoorDash something soft and delicious, you know, like your comfort meal with a little extra sauce or something, and none of the extra stress. And you know, the Dashers, they're gonna get that food for you. Doesn't matter what you specially request.
DoorDash, that is the soft girl solution too. I am too emotionally drained to cook. Let me order something and go.
That's true, girl. You get what you want when you need it, and you don't feel no shame about it because it's self-care.
Absolutely. So, you guys use the link in our notes or in our Instagram bio to get yourself $5 off of your next DoorDash order. Don't miss it.
Yeah, now go treat yourself because you deserve it. You're
You
grieving.
do. All right. So next we can talk about more specifically grieving the loss of a loved one. I always say this, and I don't even know if you like, you probably don't remember me saying this because I say this a lot, but you have to go through it to get through it. And you can't heal by pretending you're not hurt. It kind of just exacerbates the feeling. There really is no like cut cards to grieving a person because I feel like your grief is shows like how much you love the person in life. And so if you love them deeply, your grief is going to be deep. But you just really have to allow the powerful minister Ion LaVenzant always says, you just have to let your heart break. And that's the truth.
Simplest answer is like the most obvious answer is always the most simplest answer. Occam's razor. You have to get through it in order to get over it. Every single time that like you don't realize it in the moment of you just however you cry, however you got to get over it. If it's joining a combat sport, if it's joining another sport, you know, sometimes people do substance. That's a toxic journey, but that's a journey that people have on their own. I'm not saying that that's, you know,
I agree. I mean,
it's a journey.
not all substances are bad, but it comes a point where like overusage can turn into toxicity.
I don't mean like to I don't mean toxic, but I mean unhealthy healing,
Okay, okay.
if that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
That just might be a little bit unhealthy. I It is. Yeah. You just have to, most of the time, you do have to watch when you go through those eras. You like rely on a community, be it in it. Sometimes, like a lot of, I've dealt with a lot of my friends or like partners and stuff like that, where when I say, you know, you're able to lean your shoulder or me, or do you have extra community or extra people that you're able to rely on? Most of the time they'll go, no, like, you know, I don't have good relationship with my parents, or I don't have any parental figures. Especially working in res life, like working in like higher education. And like when I was an undergrad, like working as a resident assistant and like dealing with certain like students and residents, like they came to me, or and like we created like, you know, our own little school family because they didn't have. I'm sorry, I keep flipping my hair. That's why you don't wear like synthetic wigs, because it's too much.
Yo, the people didn't know it was synthetic. You didn't have to say
I mean, the people who know, like it just
The
keeps.
girls that get it, get it.
Yeah, like what the heck? Hold on.
And the ones that don't, don't.
Because it's gonna bother me. Like, yeah, you see that? Okay. Like, it's just gonna keep. It keeps just going curling in my face.
Put it behind your ear.
Nah.
For those that can't see and are listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and things of that nature, she has on a beautiful synthetic wig. We're not going to drop the name because they haven't sent us a check yet. But it just keeps curling by her eye, and it's bothering her. So I'm gonna just fill in until she gets back. And just sharing, you know, some of the personal losses that we've experienced and how it helped shape us. And I hate to use the word helped in such tragic situations, but I experienced like the first heavy death of a loved one, which was like one of my best friends in 2020. And that death kind of like shaped me for the course and the duration of the grief that I've experienced from now. And that was probably the most awful I felt ever, like in life, when that situation happened. And I just feel like even though it was the absolute worst feeling ever, I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It did help me to be able to cope with the deaths that we've experienced recently. Because I understand the emotion, I can acknowledge it. I know exactly the timeline of how I operate when I lose someone, you know, things of that nature. I know how to calm myself, and I know also how to just like let myself feel whatever it is that I'm going through. I know it's not easy because, you know, nobody wants to sit here and break down. Like nobody wants to do that, especially if you don't do that on a regular basis. If you're not an emotional person, you cry about one thing, next thing you know, you crying about this, you crying about that, and then you're crying about what happened to you as a kid, and then you're crying about, you know, you not doing the dishes. It's just a whole thing. So that's why I always just recommend everyone to feel how they feel in the moment, because once you let it build up, that's when it starts to become a problem, and then it seeps through events, you know, in your life.
Yeah, I do agree on that. It starts to project, and people could tell. You don't think that people could tell because you know you're in denial and you're grieving and stuff like that. But then when you get out of it, you're like, ugh, I acted like that. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I hope they can, you know, give me grace in that moment. You know, yeah, everybody always is in retrospection asking for grace. Like, and yes, that is like a part of the grieving process. You know, sometimes you can't help what you say or do,
It's
but
emotional
it,
ignorance.
yeah. But we like we're here to say be mindful of that. You know, when you go through things like that, you know, I'm not perfect. Not saying I'm not saying I have done that, but I am very mindful whenever like these times do come up that like anything of my stress, and you never know how it's going to show up or present itself. It could be in any way or fashion, especially for Black women. It could be you patting your head. It could be you stimming. It could be, like, it could be you eating a lot. It could be you. It could be you laughing a lot. It could be you smoking a lot now. It could be you drinking a lot now.
Or
It
doing
could be
just
you going a
anything.
lot. Yeah, it could be you being restless, going out more, like.
That was
All those
me going out
going to
more.
work, yeah, going to work more, getting another job, filling your schedules up, like constantly not wanting to be alone, like certain things like that. Like it presents itself in many different ways. You just got to be mindful of that. So it's a very hard path to walk down, but you're not alone. Say that you're not alone. So.
Yeah, I think with emotional ignorance comes a certain level of arrogance because you feel like you're the only one that's going through something, and it's like, it's only me, it's just me, you know, like you guys don't understand how I feel. And it's like there are literally millions of people that have experienced grief. It doesn't necessarily have to be the loss of a loved one, but it can be the loss of a job that you wanted. It could be the loss of a relationship. It can be the loss of literally anything that can like harm you emotionally, something that you truly cared about and you lose it. That can affect you. So I want to go into this next thing. We're speaking about that because you just brought up a really good topic of like going out more, doing things, and just picking up hobbies. So how do you cope when milestones hit differently? Like, for example, like, you know, we just celebrated Grandma Janice's posthumous birthday. How did you handle that, if you did at all?
Took a shot for her.
I
I
did
went
the
out.
same thing.
Yeah, I took a shot for her and I went out. I know
Shouldn't even drink. That's the funny part about it, but it's just a thought. It's just a thought.
Well, yeah, here's the funny thing. Yeah, our grandmother didn't drink for medical reasons, kind of like I believe not verbatim what she said, but to paraphrase, it
I
just
think it was
didn't sit in
the
her
medication
system
she
right.
was on. It didn't mix.
Yeah. And even when she was younger, she said it didn't sit in her system right. It just kind of like shot through
You know what
her,
that's
I
called? That's
guess.
called being a lightweight. That's all that was.
Yeah, that really is what it is. Yeah. But I think we got our dad's livers and kidneys, so
They don't call me Bria for nothing. Okay, so I definitely agree with going out more. Like when my best friend passed, I definitely like just went out and did like the most randomest shit. Like I would be like text my friend group chat, y'all, I'm getting a hotel in Fredericksburg, Virginia. You guys want to go to like this indoor amusement park? Yeah, sure. Like it was just stupid stuff. Hey guys, I just booked two tickets to Busch Gardens. Who wants to go? Like I would be like Florida, just doing random things because I genuinely like had PTSD at that point. I'm like, he was so young. And so I'm like, it could be any one of us at any given moment. So that just made me, start to really just live out my purpose and just do stuff. It doesn't even matter. Like, go see that movie, even if it's by yourself. Like, go take that walk in the park. You never know who's going to be there, who you're going to run into. Even if it's just getting out, going to the grocery store, bitch, pick that apple. Like, just do something, just get out of your skin, get out of your head. And I think going into the next topic about what people get wrong when they're grieving, I think that's it, And I know that it's not all the time, it's something you can control because I understand I deal with major depressive disorder. Sometimes you genuinely just can't get up out of bed, and it is a mental illness and it is a strain, that you have to get out of. But I feel like if you're able to, whether it's medication, whether it's therapy, whether it's talking to friends, joining that support group. Our church has small groups like where you can talk about grief or whatever it is you want to talk about. It's just like, just get something, like be active in something, or even if it's just talking to God, like writing something down, looking at the Bible. You got to find something.
Cause like most people think like, oh, like I don't wanna, I don't wanna do anything wrong, or like I don't wanna upset anybody during my grieving process. Like if I have to isolate myself for a period of time, like
Yeah.
not in a rude way, but life will go on, and that's what you're gonna realize is that life will go on. It moves forward, actually. That's a better way to put it. And I don't want to say like my life moves on without that person that you've
Yeah. You
lost,
don't move
or
on
that
from the
someone that you are.
person, but you move forward.
Yes. Like that's a really good way to put it. You have to try and pick up the pieces as best as you can. Now, if you have a partner or a family member or a village community, et cetera, that's there to help you, then good. Please take that to your advantage. But if you have to take a breather for a second for any reason, step back, like do that. Actually do that. There's nothing wrong with that. The one thing that I would say that, like, I don't know if there's necessarily any way that you could grieve wrong. Like, even if it's anger presenting, you still grieved.
Yeah,
Now
you're
you should
still feeling
stray,
that
yeah.
emotion.
You should stray away from anger presenting grieving, but
I get what you mean. Like, in some way, it's still expressing that grief. I also think time helps too, because it doesn't get easier over time, but it definitely gets more manageable. I don't ever want to minimize the effects that grief can have on you. And I think grief is so hard to grapple with because it's a consistent emotion. Like grief comes in waves. And I just think that, some days you're going to be perfect. You can go days, weeks, even sometimes years without being sad yeah. about a situation, without thinking about it. And then you hear that one song or, you know, you see something that reminds you of that person. And then all of a sudden you're back to when you first got the news that they departed. So I don't ever want to minimalize, like, you know, the effects that grief can have when you're in the gravity of the situation. But it does get easier to manage over the more time that passes by. You learn to, you know, live with the changes that it brings.
For example, I just tell a story instead of trying to explain it. Like, I didn't get my license until January of this year, 2025. So right after I turned 23. Audience. And I got it in. It don't matter where I got it at. But I got it. I got my license. I got my license. And I started driving, of course. I moved up to PA again, where I went to school at, where I did my undergrad at, to do my grad degree, because I'm in a graduate assistantship program. So, but unfortunately, I didn't have my own transportation, personal transportation, to get to PA. So my family supported me, and I was able to get a rental car. Now, I have to turn in my rental car because my family supported me yet again. I love them. And one of my great uncles gifted me his car that he had, but repairs had to be done to it. So while I had the rental car, they were doing repairs on it. And I come back home to exchange the cars, turn in the rental car and get my car. And once I enter the city, I'm on 495. If y'all not from the DMV, we from the DMV. So I'm on 495. I'm getting in on the inner beltway. And I'm like, oh, I should get off on Suitland Parkway. I'll just go see grandma real quick and stuff like that. And then it hits me. I'm like, oh, that's not possible. I'm like, she's not alive no more. Like, and I had to say that to myself. I couldn't say, oh, she's somewhere else. She's dead. She's not here no more. I cannot go see her. Like, I had to just take a breath, you know, cry for a little bit. I was like, all right, well, I ain't no bitch. I don't want my parents to see me crying when I get in the house. So let me wipe my tears right. I was like, okay, let me wipe my tears away real quick. All right, but at least I'm home. I'm back at home. I'm with my parents. I'm with my siblings. Like, I'm with loved ones still. Even though she's gone, I'm still with loved ones. It's not that I'm less than. It's that I just miss.
Yeah, for me, it's the same. Even though I don't live in that area, because, you know, when I lived in that area, I would literally just get off work and go straight over there, even if it was only for like for 30 minutes, you know, like I will always be at grandma's house for no reason. But for me, it was calling her, because I used to always call her like about silly stuff, like funny things that happened to me. So like when I had moved to my apartment, I got on the elevator because something funny had happened to me in the elevator. And I literally dialed her number, everything to call her. And I was like, shit, I can't fucking call her no more. Like, well, I mean, you can, but it's going to be like, beep, this number is no longer in service. Like, you know what I mean? So, but I think that even though we can't speak to them the way that we want, doesn't mean we can't still speak to them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I still talk to her, you know? Like, it'll be certain things where I'm like, I know for a fact that you had something to do with this. Your spirit, your angel spirit had something to do with this. So I'll like say things to the air or whatever. Or like if I have a dream about her, I'll wake up and be like, thanks for coming to visit me. I appreciate you. You know I needed you at this moment or whatever. It's hard to accept because it's not the same, but it still can be done. Communication can be done if you believe in God. So speaking of deaths, I wanted to go into parasocial grief, which I feel like is something that a lot of us grapple with as a society. And it just wouldn't be us, a Black owned podcast, to not mention Malcolm Jamal Warner. So we would like to take a moment to honor someone who meant a lot to not just our family, but to a majority of us, whether we ever met him or not. Malcolm Jamal Warner, We first met him as Theo Huxtable, the cool, funny, sensitive black boy who made it okay to not have it all figured out. He was smart, he was stylish, and most importantly, he was soft in a world that did not always let black men be. But Malcolm was, he just didn't stop at Theo Huxtable. He went on to become an Emmy nominated actor, a Grammy winning spoken word artist, a director, a musician, a creative who never stopped evolving. He showed up for decades in roles that mattered. He gave voice to black experiences that were nuanced, emotional, and necessary. And he did it with grace. So if you feel a little off, if you are grieving him like you lost a family member, like we are, because when we heard the news, we were taken aback. It is not silly. It's real. And your feelings are valid.
Like, especially, like, James Earl Jones.
My God. Yo, like, if you, man, first of all, this man had so many roles, but, like, one of the most notable ones I feel like for early childhood would have to be, like, The Lion King or Coming to America, where he literally was a damn dad. You know, well, he was a dad in The Lion King, too, so, yeah, he's just, like, been our dad for, like, almost a damn century.
Like, let me give another one that just feels, like, really close to people's heart. Like, I mean, shit, Selena, like, that'll always hit close to the heart.
That's what about James from Good Times?
That's also true.
Oh, rest there's in a, peace, you lot. Beautiful Rudy soul. Rudy
Clanahan from the Golden Girls, like, well, shoot, Betty White.
Whitney Houston really broke me. She has no sense being dead. She got no damn reason to be dead right now. That broke my heart.
Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher in the same weekend. That hurt. Mom and daughter duo.
Yeah. It's a lot. I just think that because, like, people kind of dismiss parasocial grief because it's like you don't have a direct connection to this person. You know, it's like, oh, they were just a character on your favorite TV show. Or, oh, they did this. Oh, they did that. But these are shows. Say it again.
I said they raised us too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they were literally like our childhood background. You know what I'm seeing? Like, especially on the Cosby Show with all of the controversy that goes around with the main person. Like, that show literally taught a lot of black people that you can be rich, you can be educated, you can be successful. And it wasn't like they only had one child. They had multiple. They had a whole Brady Bunch. And then they also had grandkids after that. And then went on to do A Different World. So it's just like shows like that really, it's a staple in our community, and it would just be a disservice to not even feel sad or teary-eyed over Theo Huxtable. Like, come on.
For a lot of times for our family, we grew up in, well, our parents were at work. We was at our grandparents' house. So we, after school, we was there. We was watching whatever they put on, whatever our manny put on, which is our granddad, who was our nanny, but he's a man.
Shout out to you, Ricky Jerome.
Yeah. So he, you know, he's a very big, he's also like a third parental figure, that we have in our life, of course, as grandparents mostly are, extra support figures as well. But that's like we watched that while we were eating dinner as well too. We talked about those episodes, like they showed us specific episodes, like they was like, especially our dad too. And then I remember talking about this with our dad too, like the episode where they had him, where Cliff, he was like,
I'm only laughing because I know what you're talking about, but I'm sorry.
Okay, because Malcolm Jamal Warner's character was complaining about they was going back and forth about money and stuff like that and his responsibilities, and he's like, well, I'm grown, you know, like, da da da, you know, I can do what I can do what I want. Like, you know, this is not verbatim what was said. You know, I'm still a youngster. So, like, this is based off of, like, my kind of young memory. I did rewatch the show a couple years ago, but not, I don't really. I just know the lesson of this show. I will always remember the lesson of this show. And he was like, well, Cliff was like, okay, well, if you're grown, him and Claire both decided, if you're grown, then all right, we're going to treat you like that. And they made him, that entire episode, they made him pay for different things. Like, they was like, okay, well, they was like, okay, well, where's the rent for today? Well, if you want to take a shower, you know, we need this, this, and that. Exactly. You ain't got light. You don't have AC. You ain't pay for your electric bill, your gas bill. Where's your food at? You ain't getting no groceries, so you're not touching none of our groceries. Like, it's certain things like that. Like, I feel like that's, like, canon events in every Black childhood. Right. For real. Because he was just kind of lining us up. He was like, I ain't finna do it to you. I'm gonna show you what's gonna happen, though, if you try me like he just did. So it was certain things like that that I feel like we know, like, we feel like we were kind of raised alongside them, or they grew up with us, or they're, like, cousins in our family. Like, it definitely is parasocial grief. So this week, we honor you, Malcolm, most definitely. You know, we, every version of ourselves that felt seen because of him and the cast of that show, we're praying for your family, and rest well, King.
And especially, like, even outside of the Cosby Show, like, he just did
Malcolm and Eddie, bro.
He just did so much. Read between the lines. Do you remember his episode? I know he was only on one episode of Hawthorne, but do you remember his episode of Hawthorne where he had, like, a sort of dementia and he thought Jada Pinkett Smith's character was his wife? Like, the way that he played that role, it's just... And then him on The Resident most recently, like, oh, I can't even watch The Resident, like, for a minute, because I just can't. Yeah. But speaking of relationships, because we could talk about Theo Huxtable for the rest of the episode. How do you feel about, you know, grieving relationships and the change that comes with it? We kind of touched on the topic earlier, but... Do you find yourself in a sense of grief, like, when you're, like, letting go of friendships or letting go of old versions of yourself? I feel like they kind of go hand in hand, really, because most friendships tend to die when you become a new version of yourself, because it's true. Like, you can't take everybody with you. And some people, sorry, mom, are heavy as fuck.
Yeah. Because at some point that was you had a connection and a bond with them. Something has shifted. So, like, yeah. If your friendship is going out the door, then yeah, it's a new version of yourself that's stepping into light. I definitely think that, but it's the same principle kind of for, you know, for relationships. You have to shed something in order to gain something. Like, that's what I always think in the back of my head is that anyone's, the popular phrase is a man's rejection is God's protection, but anyone, any form, any style of rejection is God's protection majority of the time.
Right.
I'm just saying, you have to learn from it. You kind of got to, like, it's like basically learning how to fall. So it's easier to get back up. I would say, and I don't mean that as in, like, anticipatory grief. I mean that as in, like,
just being ready.
Just having some sense of, like, control, or some. I would say for me, my style is some sort of detachment. I'm a very nonchalant person. You can ask Bria most of the time. When it comes to that,
I have some of you in me being a Gemini, you know, like, that's on one side, but I tend to use the softer side more often. But so I'm not going to put you all the way out there by yourself. But
daddy's daughter. Yeah, I'm my daddy's daughter. I might look
shout
like
out to
mom.
You, Mr. Brevard.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, because I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Mom. If you listen to this right now, just go ahead and either put the bleep
right,
out right
ahead,
now.
Just go ahead and skip past.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. Hold on. I'm trying to think really quickly. Hold on. It's because I just went through. I have an ex-partner now. I'm not gonna say that we're mind your
I
business. I'm not gonna say
understand.
no
Yeah,
more.
mind your
Yeah,
business
I'm not gonna say no
because we
more.
exes, but my ex is in the word next as well. There are
Oh
possibilities.
no, there's not for my situation, there is not a possibility that my ex will be my next. I'm just saying
I'm saying
that.
that for me. Love you,
Yeah.
Daddy.
Anyway, okay, so anyways, but when I got to that moment when I like I had to just take a breath because I was like, you know what? I was like, I had to just I had to think, first of all, do I even have the energy for this?
Yeah.
That was one thing. That was the main thing that I thought to myself was as soon as I saw the conversation shifting towards that, and he was like, "Yo, we got to talk or whatever," and I was like, "Okay, you know, it's kind of been feeling off for a while, so yeah, let's sit down and like evaluate everything that's going on." And then when it actually came to, I was like, "Actually, you know what? I don't have the energy for this. Let's not have a whole conversation about it. Let's just go ahead and nip it in the bud. We feel more like friends. We
My
feel more like
let's just
friends than we do
get
like
this over with,
partners."
basically.
Yeah, because if for a long-term relationship, I think, what do you consider a long-term relationship, first of all? Come on, like, what is this the big.
Long term, I would say like when it gets to like a year and above.
Okay, so yeah, so me and my ex-partner, we're still cool, so I don't mean to be putting you out there like that, Exy, but
They don't know
I'm
him.
just keeping it real. Yeah, he knows who I am, I'm just keeping it real. No, I'm just saying if he were to ever see clips of this on social media. So you know who you are. I don't really give a fuck. But yeah. It was like towards the end, it just felt more like we were friends than life partners. Like it felt like we were best friends. Like, you know, like I'm sorry, this might be a more of a generation, like a our generational thing, but you know, like when you're having a casual relationship with someone, and that's kind of like when you find out that you are actually not meant to be together. Like you thought the situationship was going to go from there, but it's actually this person. I actually don't fuck with this person. This person is meant to be my friend or nothing to me at all. Most people, not most people, you know, they got they are very strict with their energy and their time. So they'll say, if I've already fucked you, or if I've already been fucking with you, I'm not going to fuck with you no more because that's like, you know, that, and I respect that. I don't know what it is for me. If I just be chilling, like I just don't be thinking that it's that big of a deal. But sometimes if someone is not meant to be, if someone is not meant to be, this is gonna be a wild way to put it, okay? This is an unhinged statement. If someone's not meant to be in it, maybe if someone's not meant to be in you, maybe they're meant to stand by you as a friend or something like that. And I think for our
Jiggy with
generation,
that. That's not really that wild to me. Because
yeah,
I get
because
what
for
you
our
mean.
generation, yeah, like I've seen growing up, I've seen a lot of, and I'm an observer. I've seen a lot of people, and this is also from my own experience, get platonic and romantic relationships and sexual relationships
I was
jumbled up.
just talking about this
So
yesterday.
yeah, so sometimes you might fuck someone who was actually meant to be your friend. And I think that you kind of have like if you chill, not I'm not gonna say chill enough, but if that's how you roll, you might, you know, after y'all fuck, you can just switch to being friends.
Yeah.
And to be for real, oh shit, my Jill be calling me. Should I answer this pod? Can we pause for a second?
No, we can't pause. If you're going to answer it, it's going to be in the show. I'm telling you right now.
He hasn't called in like a week.
So I would say. You can mute yourself and I'll continue
No,
talking.
never mind. He disconnected.
Okay. Because I was about to say, I'm sorry, but Jailbirdie is going to be a fucking
No, not
co-host.
Jailbirdie. Good friend.
Oh, then never mind.
Good friend. Good friend. Not like that. Not like that. Not like
Okay.
that.
Well, then keep going.
Okay, so yeah. What was I on? But yeah, sometimes in our generation, a lot of people get that shit jumbled up. The difference between romantic, I think that there can be just sexual relationships, but I, you know, that's just me. People call me a nigga for being like that, and I'm like, why?
I mean, but that's true, and I feel like it's mature.
Masculine though, but why is that? But I get called a nigga a lot for that. Why is that masculine for me to believe in sexual relationships?
It's misogyny. That's all. It stems from people believing that women are more emotional than men scientifically, when it's already been proven scientifically that that is not a fact. I've done research on it. It's been scientifically proven that that is a stereotype.
We ain't got dibbing it.
I'm just saying that's where it stems from. Yeah. So people just think because women are more emotional, they're not capable of just having a physical relationship. When in fact, women are kind of the ones that be, you know, leading the pack in that category right now. I'm just saying, from what I be hearing. But I digress.
Same. But yeah, like I think it was, we went all over the place. I think with me and my ex-partner, it might've been one of those situations where, or it was just, well, I can't say that because it went on for 2 years. So like, I can't say, oh, well, maybe we meant to be friends or something like that. No, I'm not saying that. But sometimes it just don't work out, and I'm glad that we was able to be cool with it and, you know, still. You know, so like it's something, but at the end of the day, like I realized I did have to sit with myself and I was like, he will not be, I did have to agree with the part where I was like, he will not be my next. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, because I don't know if it was performative or if it was a vulnerable moment, but like the words in that conversation was, if we want to reestablish something that's possible. I'm not sure if I want to after 2 years, if you don't know what you want from me, if you don't like, if like, if it didn't work, I mean, I'm sorry, not what you want from me. That's bad.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
But that's not what I meant to say. If you don't, like, if it didn't work out, like if it didn't work out and it was meant to be something else, we already found out within those 2 years. We already know everything that we should know about whatever relationship we need to have, or not need to have, because I don't need to have shit with no one, but whatever bond we choose to have, like, we already know how we act. So there's no point of going back and forth on what it should and should not be. So if that's why I said, I it may be egregious, it may be extreme, but to then ask for me directly to be in a relationship with you again after you were already completely my ex. This is not a break. It was a breakup.
Right.
I'm going to need some bands in my face, a ring on my finger, a car in my driveway, some keys in my hand, a deed, a title, a plot, a plan, some blueprints. To a compound
life
property.
Life insurance. Health insurance. All the above. I feel
I'm
you.
I'm just saying. And I would also want myself to be set up, because I can't ask for that and then I'm not ready to be a wife or a life partner myself. But don't come to me after we done already been going back and forth for about 2 years, and then we decided, okay, let's actually just, you know, be cool, we chill, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If there was to ever be any type of reestablishment, you already know who I am.
I can't even lie. I've grieved the ending. However, I continuously begin new cycles. So even though, like, I've ended something, that's just that past cycle, and then I'm still on my ex bad. We just gonna put it like that. I'm not on him hella bad, but you know, that was the first person I've truly had like a bond where I'm like, I could dig forever with this nigga, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people I've been with in my life, it's just I knew that I wasn't compatible. I was just given what I was given at that moment, and I just took it. But this is like the first person where it was very easy. It was very natural. From the first time like we started talking, it flowed. It was no like pressure. It was nothing. Like it was just easy, at peace. You know what I mean? Like whenever like I was laying with him, I didn't need my phone. I didn't need shit. Like I was just like, that was the most at peace I've ever felt in my spirit, in my life, you know?
That's a
Like,
dangerous one, boy. That's a dangerous
so
one, boy. That's a dangerous one.
I and I'm, you know, we're on different sides of the spectrum, but still with the same goal. So I love that we kind of like have contrasting situations currently, because it shows like the different parts of growth when you're grieving a relationship. Because
Yeah.
you've grieved it and you're still friends with him and you're still cool, which is amazing, because you know your ex is a good person and so are you. So the fact that you're mature enough to realize, like, even though I wanted this with this person, I've still come to the conclusion that it's not something that I need and it's not something I see for myself anymore. So,
Yeah.
you know, for me, I guess because of the situation he's in right now, to me, spiritually, it just feels like right person, wrong time. And it's not that I'm necessarily waiting for him, because as you know, I'm a social butterfly. It's not like I don't speak to people. It's not like I cut people off, you know, out of my life and like, oh, I'm waiting for this guy. Like, it's not like that. But I just feel like when things are meant to be, you know, they'll come to pass. And so I'm not like waiting for that. I'm not stopping my life like to wait for him to return when he's ready. But at the same time, I'm not going to say I don't hope that, you know, when he's ready, I'm available. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like I think there's and that's the part where you kind of just like start growing. You just start moving forward. Like it's definitely like I'm not saying that there was no pain. Like it was definitely some type of
Child,
grieving.
I felt
It
like
was definitely
somebody
some type of
ran over my
grievance.
dog.
Yeah, because like there was a difference between the relationship in the beginning and the relationship at the end.
Oh,
Like
that
in
is
the
the
beginning, yeah.
worst.
Like in the like then that's when you start thinking and I think that's where I stop and I try to remind myself, I'm grateful for the experience that I have with this person. I understand and that's something that I just have to learn from that because like our parents, they were not playing. You know, like every partner that you usually have within your younger years teaches you something about yourself and what you want in order for either a perfect partner or what it teaches you about yourself. And if you don't learn that about yourself, you're going to keep seeing that show up in your same partner. So if there's something bad, not necessarily bad, but if there's something unhealthy within you, it's going to keep showing up within your partners, whoever you're with, until you fix it, until you break that cycle and you learn to heal and move on. And I think that's
Absolutely.
like, if it didn't work out, that means that there was something that he had taught me, and now it's time for him to go.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah,
I've
like,
been
yeah,
dealing
like
with that with
that's
friends.
truly, yeah, that's truly what I believe in. And I also do that with friends as well. Oh, why did this not work out? Oh, because maybe I didn't keep up on text messages or something like that, or maybe they felt like I was inconsiderate. Okay, maybe I have to reflect. Maybe I was. Now going on into a new relationship or to a new friendship or to just be by myself, I need to be more respectful because sometimes that it might actually be a projection within yourself. That's how you feel about yourself, so that's how you treat other people, or you treat other people like that way because you don't feel good about life and you start treating yourself like that. Whatever cycle, whatever like, you know, shape your cycle is or your journey is, it's definitely it's definitely a hell of one. It's definitely gonna be a hell of a one, but there's growth in it. So you
For
just,
yeah, for
yeah.
me, I feel like with friends, my problem, I think my problem in any situation really is when to exit, because I feel like it's a thin line between like being on the precipice of change, and then also sometimes the change comes because of your departure. So you sitting there like waiting for, you know, someone to make a change doesn't happen until you actually leave. And then also like with friends, because I'm such a nurturer, because I'm like, you know, the motherly figure, a lot of the times, a lot of people cling to me that are like children. Like, they come to me for advice. They come to me, like, if they need something, they're like emotional leeches, you know, like, and when I get to a different space in my life, I'm wondering why things aren't working. And it's like, because you're fucking pouring all these damn energy into people that your life doesn't even represent the stature of the humans that you're holding on to anymore. And it's not like a cocky thing to say, because it's the same thing for them. Like, you know, you get to certain stages in your life and certain people, places, and things that you loved. If you truly want success or change, you can't be around those people anymore. You can't hang out in those places because it doesn't serve the purpose of your current status of like who you are, you know, like the place that I'm living in. I want to upkeep this lifestyle. So do you really need to be in these areas? You know what I mean? Do you really need to be with these other people? Like, that don't give a fuck about nothing, that don't care. And these are also people, I think, too, that don't necessarily, like, care about your worth. They don't care about what you have. A lot of them can be, like, jealous or envious. That energy can come off in different ways. And it's just, like, just ask yourself, if you were in a space right now where everything you had were to crumble, who would help pick up the pieces and put it back together again? And I promise you, about 75% of your friend group is going to fucking tarnish. I guarantee it. So I just feel like it doesn't have to be beef. It doesn't have to be, I don't like you. It's just sometimes, you know, it's just loving someone from afar, you know, only telling them happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and not texting them every single day. How are you? How's everything? How's the kids? Da, da, da. You know, sometimes it's just liking a picture and not FaceTiming them every night, you know.
I'm sorry, we're on a podcast, but Savannah just texted me some wild shit, bro. I have to tell you when we get off. What?
Okay. All right. All right, so yes, there's power in honoring your scars. So, we talk a lot about healing, but let us talk about financial peace.
Whew. Okay, because nothing triggers the nervous system like looking at your bank account and then seeing $2.86.
Child, Moneyline gets it. It is a financial app for folks like us trying to budget, save, and still have cute brunches. Because I know y'all be seeing me at Aaron DC.
Yep, and you can track your spending, build credit, and even get cash advances with no stress and no judgment.
Ooh, we love a soft girl with strong credit.
Yeah, download Moneyline today and use your code. Use our code, actually, $AVID. BREYA 286. And that should spell out Avid Bria 286 when you join.
All right. Now we are on to my favorite segment of the night, Sister Sound Off.
Yep. Pick your sister.
Sister Sound Off. right, so welcome to our favorite segment, Pick Your Sister. You sent us your real, raw questions about grief, and today we are tag teaming the healing. So here's how this segment works. You ask, we both answer. You choose, do you want advice from Sister Bria first, the wise, slightly woo-woo, soft launch your healing, big sis?
Or do you want it from Sister Jasmine, your truth-telling little sister who will hug you after I read you?
Heavy on after she reads you. So we got to give y'all balance, because sometimes you need a journal and sometimes you just need a damn shot. So let us get into it. The first question is from Vanessa G from Aberdeen, South Dakota. Shout out to South Dakota. Never been, but appreciate y'all. How do I grieve someone I was not on good terms with when they passed? Do you want to answer first or me? Oh, Vanessa says she wants to get read first, and then I'll answer after. So that's you.
Okay. I mean, it depends, Vanessa. I'm not gonna read you like that, okay? It depends on what type of person you are. Now, if you're the type of person where y'all wasn't on good terms, like, so on some serious not good terms, like, they did some messed up stuff to you, I just automatically assumed it was a he. If y'all not on good terms, I'm sorry. But if that person did some messed up stuff to you, and then y'all not on good terms, fuck that bitch. Fuck the hoe. Why are you worried about what terms you should be on period with them when they pass? It don't matter. You know, it would be hard to get through that grieving process. I try to be as respectable as possible to their family if you're going to interact with them, with their kin. But, like, don't feel guilty for nothing. Like, it wasn't your fault, you know? Like, y'all just wasn't on good terms when they passed. Now, if it's something that you were really upset about and y'all wasn't on good terms, that will be, like, really hard. And that's one of those grieving processes where you will need a community. Sometimes be it like talking about it in order to get through it. If it's, you know, going to a therapist or a grief counselor, even like I'll recommend professional help for like a little bit more complex situations like that, because it's, if y'all weren't on good terms, but you want it to be, you feel guilty about the way everything went down when they passed and stuff, that's kind of hard to get over. And like, even then, it won't your fault. Like, whatever relationship y'all had when the person passed, like, it's, if you ain't have nothing to do with the death, then that's, like, it genuinely, like, it's nothing that you can necessarily do about it. Sometimes that's just the way that the cookie, like, the way that the cookie crumbles. And you're going to have to, everybody don't get a goodbye in the physical plane, if that also gives you comfort.
Heavy on that.
Yeah, everybody don't get a goodbye on the physical plane. I think that's what people take for granted, that saying goodbye face-to-face to a loved one or to anyone is a privilege, I've learned.
Amen.
Like, yeah, with our grandmother, Bria was face to face. I was over the phone. Not that I wanted to see her or that death rattle. I didn't want to, like, you know, that is traumatizing to people. I could see that in a horror movie, but to see that from a loved one, oh, wow. I will never go to sleep. So that's, you know, that's like, that's my process. I wasn't able to do that. So I just had to, you know, get through it. With the memories that I had. And it's really, you do start to just choose the good memories. It's very fascinating thing when someone dies, the bad memories just start to shed, unless they were really bad, you know, unless that was like, yeah, like unless they, it was, they were a really bad person. The good memories, just, that's all you can remember. The times that you laughed, the times that you smiled, like genuinely, that's what I think about whenever people die. You start to like reflect. Okay, like when I reflected back on our grandparents, I'm just thinking about the times that we laughed, the times that we were at family reunions together, the times that they made good food, the times that we had good conversation, had good advice. I spent a day with them, you know, like our great-grandfather took us to the Y, like literally like all, like the summers that we were down there every day on the dot, like 8:45 a.m. We all had to be ready to be out at the Y down in Goldsboro. Child. So we can go swim, work out, do whatever, while he did whatever he wanted for the 2 hours, and then we went back. So it's just sometimes it is very difficult, but I would say at the end of the day, have a village, have someone, a grief partner to reach out to, or a counselor or a therapist in those types of situations, because it can get very difficult and complex. Like the brain and your emotions are a very difficult thing.
Yep, Vanessa, she hit the nail on the head. I don't think you need anything from me because I feel like that was very nuanced. She gave you like the bad bitch response as well as the intelligent one. So I'm just gonna move on to the next question.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
The next question
Yeah, I see.
is Shelby A from Buffalo, New York, and she wants me to answer. So shout out to you, Shelby. Shelby says, I feel guilty for crying over someone who passed years ago. Am I being dramatic? And you ask the right person, the answer is no. Like I said earlier in the podcast, grief comes in waves. Some days you're going to be just fine. You're not going to think about it. Sometimes it could go like that for years, months on end. And then next thing you know, you're listening to a song and you think of the person. You're running into somebody that you used to hang out with when that person was alive. You're driving down the street and you see a monument that reminds you of the time that you and your person went there. So, no, I don't believe in grief having a timeline. For as long as I'm concerned, if you truly love someone, you're going to feel the depth of their loss every day that you're here and they're not. It's just how you deal with it and how you manage the grief. So, is it okay to cry? Yes. However, you also have to do other things other than that. Feel your emotions, absolutely. But don't let that be the only emotion that you feel with the person. When you feel strong enough, if you and this person used to do something like go to Disney World in their memory. Go to the movies in their memory. Watch a movie that reminds you of the person. You can still speak to these people. It's just not, like Jazz said, it's just not necessarily in the physical plane, but that doesn't mean that they can't hear you. That doesn't mean that they're not there. And that doesn't mean that they won't respond to you either. So you should never feel guilty for crying over someone. It doesn't matter. If you love them, it's always going to hurt. It's just how you deal with that hurt that makes life more manageable for you.
Yeah, and whether you are choosing healing with hugs or, hard truths, we got you. Pick your sister, pick your peace. Either way, we're still resetting.
Amen to that. I will play the Sister Sound Off song again, but we're running out of time. We'd already went over an hour,
Running
so.
out of time. Running out of Oh, yeah, it's 1 hour and 7 minutes. Oh my God.
Okay, so guys, listen. Next time we do Sister Sound Off, we're gonna do more than two questions. We're gonna
Yeah,
have
let's do the
to.
outro.
We should do like, yeah, we should split it into like the beginning and then the outro of Sister Sound Off, just because I really love that song for real. Okay, so going into this week, I guess I will do the journal prompts that we want you guys, the reset rituals that we want you guys to take into your week. Just to reset, Jasmine, I feel like you have that better, like, just to do the affirmations and give them that energy. And then we'll just leave you with the
Oh,
journal prompt.
am I immature or is that first affirmation kind of crazy, Bria?
Yo, she's childish. Don't listen to her, y'all. Okay. Anyway.
No. Yeah, nah. When we get to the affirmation, you finna see. Y'all finna see. Go ahead. I'm gonna call Jordan, bro. I'm gonna call Jordan now, bro. Because if he's laughing, then that's for you, bro.
No, please. Okay.
Go ahead.
So, what is one thing you are letting go of this week when you start in the next week? One thing I'm letting go of this week. I would say I'm letting go of thinking busyness means production. And we can talk about that in the next episode of our soft girl era, but movement does not always mean progress. Just because you're doing something and just because you're trying to keep yourself busy, that does not mean that you are reaching your goal faster, because you can very much run, but in place. You can go nowhere very fast. So that's what I'm letting go of. I'm letting go of trying to make myself do things just because I don't feel comfortable in my softness. That's what I'm letting go of.
I think I'm going to go back to what I was grieving earlier at the beginning of the show. One thing I'm letting go of is that $100. You know, after this whole entire podcast episode. No, let me say this, okay? After this whole entire podcast episode, all right? You know, I've been reflecting on it, and I'm not going to get that $100. Like, payroll's not going
to
give me...
It's going to come to you, sis. It's just going to come to you in a different way. You're going to get that $100. I'm telling you right now. You're going to get that $100. It's just not going to come to you in the form of a check from your job.
Clock it. Look. What did Denzel say? I'm leaving here with something. I'm leaving here with something. Yo. They're going to give me my $100.
Yo, can we make this? I'm literally going to make that one clip like a part of the damn commercial for the whole show, because what? So, okay. So you are letting go of the grief of not getting your $100.
How many times? Look, one thing about my grief, I'm trying not to be anger presented right now.
Okay.
Stop. All right. I said I'm letting go of the $100. So now let's stop talking about the
$100. Wait, but this ties in. What's one thing you're calling it? What's one thing you're calling it?
My $100. My $100. And hit my tooth on the microphone.
Okay, I'm calling in.
That's what I want. I'm calling in. Money.
You know what I'm calling in? I'm calling in 1,000 subscribers. That's what I'm calling in to the podcast.
5,000 subscribers. That's what I'm calling in.
10,000 subscribers.
All right.
Let's keep on. All right, and then...
I mean, if we can get to 150 by the end of the month, though, that'd be nice.
I feel like we can do more than that, but we'll stick with 150. Boom. If we get to 150 subscribers by the end of the month, we'll do a giveaway.
Yeah. All right, one practical reset tip. I'm going to go ahead and start this off. I think actually multiple one of these, like, don't feel selfish and not, because like, I think like the examples are like having a playlist, listening to a playlist, creating one, listening to one, you know, and I love music. Like, music is definitely a love language. So like making sure that I go on Pinterest.
Stay
I get the right
tuned
playlist
for the Sunday Reset playlist on Spotify.
That's true. So like even like when I make sure I get the right photo from Pinterest, I get the right out, like the right playlist cover. I make sure it's in the right order. If I don't want to press shuffle, like I do it all. What genre am I putting down? Am I doing deep cuts? Am I doing like everything? You know, am I doing popular hits or something like that? And then guess what? Once I'm finished with the playlist, I might take the longest motherfucking shower of my life and listen to that whole thing.
I love
or
that.
Or cook a meal. Like, I love
that's
cooking
me.
I love myself, friends, like, stuff like that. Like, I love that. So, like, anything. Or playing the game. Like, I'll then make a playlist, and then I'll get on the game for, like, 5 hours.
I'm definitely going to do a recipe. I feel like that's me. Cooking just soothes my spirit, especially if I'm cooking for someone I love. I'm always trying to bring my ex a plate. Huh?
Hold on, wait. My friend calling it. Ashawn, you a guest on our podcast.
Hey, Sean.
All right, the question was, what's one practical reset tip? Like, whenever you need to reset and just relax, like, you listen to music, do you cook, do you take a bath, like
right.
A shower? Yeah.
Is this PG or...
Is you about
the
to
only
say
thing
sex?
PG? No, the only thing PG about us is the county that we from. So just go ahead and say what you need to say.
Yo, no, I lied. That's gonna be the beginning of the thing. The only thing PG is the county that we from.
What'd you say?
That's another topic. How, you know, marijuana can aid in your relaxation for your soft
girl. Yeah, we finna go out. We finna go out and drink. I'm finna decompress for the week, for the month, for the whole month of July.
All right. So go ahead. All the things that you said, I think y'all hit the nail on the head with all the practical reset tips. So
let me call you back in 10 minutes.
I'm definitely gonna cook. So that's my practical reset tip. And then go ahead, Jazz, give us your affirmations, but do it in the you know, the strong black woman. You know how they be getting like all the beautiful black moguls to do it. Yeah, Angela Bassett, Regina King, like, yeah, yeah, girl, you did it again. Da 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 da. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, yeah, Angela Bassett.
Girl, you did it again.
Yes.
I feel like Kiki Palmer.
Yes, girl, you did it.
Hey, okay.
We love you, Kiki.
Let me get through this, okay? So here are the three affirmations we are giving you this week, okay? I give myself permission to feel it all. Feel it all.
Mm-hmm.
My grief is a mirror of my love. Healing doesn't mean forgetting. It means remembering with grace.
And here is, absolutely. And here is you guys' journal prompt. You guys can leave it in the comments of the Instagram video, or you guys can go to www.BriaMBrowner, the letter M as in Mike, .com/blog and leave a comment under there. The journal prompt is, what am I grieving right now, and what has it taught me about myself? So, take your time, soft girl. Grief does not follow a schedule. Rest, journal, sit with your feels. And then, as we've discussed so many times, next week's episode is definitely going to be our soft girl era and how women like Beyonce and Zendaya quietly set boundaries for peace and prosperity. And Jasmine, just because you have like that zhuzh again, I'm going to let you end it with our outro line.
Girl, you're not broken. Mm. You're just becoming.
Boom.
Oh, you see Tyler Perry with me. He dropped the script.
Yo, get married again is coming. And we about to do the outro on that. Peace, y'all, with love, healing, prosperity, yeah. All that.
Boom.